Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and the one who redeems us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it seems that a defendant was on trial for murder. There was strong evidence indicating his guilt, but there was no dead body. In the defense's closing argument, the lawyer, knowing his client would probably be convicted, resorted to a trick. "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a surprise for all of you," the lawyer said as he looked at his watch. "Within 1 minute, the person presumed dead in this case will walk through that door into this courtroom." And the jurors, somewhat stunned, all looked on eagerly. A minute passed, nothing happened. Finally, the lawyer said, "Actually, I made up the previous statement. But you all looked with anticipation. Therefore, I put to you that you have a reasonable doubt in this case as to whether anyone was killed and insist that you return a verdict of not guilty." The jury was clearly confused. But they retired to deliberate, and a few minutes later, the jury returned and pronounced a verdict of guilty. "But how?" inquired the lawyer. "You must have had some doubt. I saw all of you stare at the door." The jury foreman replied, "Oh yeah, we looked, but your client didn't." In many ways, what I want to talk about today is, in a deep sense, doubt and how we deal with our doubts. But I want to begin with John, some of which you've already had with my children's talk. But here again, we have John. We've been hearing a lot about him through Advent, Christmas, and now into Epiphany. And as I said, most of the time, John is pointing to Jesus, reminding people that he baptizes with water, but one who's coming after him will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And John is not even worthy to stoop and untie his shoes. The only passage that John doesn't do that is the one where he's pacing back and forth in prison that we read about last December. He's pacing back and forth in prison, and he doesn't know if Jesus is really the one that he thought he was. So he sends a couple of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" In much of the artwork throughout the centuries that depict John, most of it has John with a long index finger pointing to Jesus on the cross or some other place in the picture. As if to proclaim our text today, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." Now the two disciples hear him say this, and so they begin to follow Jesus. And we get this little exchange. "Why are you following me? What are you looking for?" They said, "Teacher, where are you staying?" He said, "Come see." And they came and saw where he was staying. They remained with him. They remained with him that day. Now, one of those was Andrew. And after that day, he went and told his brother Peter about Jesus. Now, remember last December on the first Sunday of Advent, we celebrated St. Andrew's Day, and I mentioned it. Andrew was always bringing people to Jesus. The few times that Andrew appears in the Gospels, he's bringing somebody to talk to Christ or that who has something that Christ might be able to use to make something happen. But he's always bringing somebody. Now, Andrew, and I presume the other disciple, although we don't know if the other disciple became a disciple of Jesus or was still a disciple of John. We don't know about that. But however, we do know that in Andrew, something became firm in his mind that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the Messiah. Because he went and told his brother that. Which has a lot to say, I think, in how we approach the purpose of the church. Why we gather here. Why we do things here. I chose the title, Hanging with the Son, because I have this sense that that's what Andrew and the other disciple did with Jesus that day. They hung out together. And what do you think people do when they hang out together? Well, they talk and they do things together. You see and hear about the other person or the other people in the group, and generally you like them. If you don't like them, you get up and leave. You don't hang out anymore. And in hanging out with Jesus, Andrew found out a few things. Perhaps he also had a few questions answered. And he liked what he found out. We don't know what was said. We don't know what was done. We just know that it had an enormous impact on Andrew. Hanging out with people has a tendency to bond people together. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, and in his speech, I've been to a mountaintop delivered in Memphis a day or two before he was assassinated. He said these words. Now, what does all of this mean in this great period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now let us maintain unity. People hang out together, they bond together. Benjamin Franklin said, after signing the Declaration of Independence, we must all hang together, or assuredly we will all hang apart, separately. Hanging with Jesus maintains unity with the Son. Hanging with the Son also gives us strength. Or give strength to his ideas and the work that he did in the lives of the believers. And I think a nice way for me, anyway, to visualize what we do here in worship, what we do in Bible study, and some of the other programs of our church, is we hang out with Jesus. It doesn't erase all of our doubts. But it gives us a community that we can voice our doubts, a community where we can search for answers. It's a place where we can draw upon the beliefs of others to inform our own beliefs and act on them. It doesn't erase all of our doubts. No one has all the answers. Do you think Andrew had it all figured out after spending one day with him? No. But I like to think that what they did that afternoon was just sit around talking and maybe doing something, a few things. Sharing a glass of wine or two. Whatever it was, though, it was enough to convince Andrew that Jesus was different. Jesus was special. Enough that he went back to his brother and said, "You gotta come. I found the Messiah." In his book, Provocative Grace, by Robert Morris, he writes, "Jesus' command takes his apprentices into a training course in love, because love unfolds into all the specifics of the kingdom he sees dawning. Step by step, we work with God to make space on earth for God's own love and justice, welcome and pardon, outreach and healing, sacrifice, and sharing to flow through human lives. That's what hanging with Jesus does for us. It makes us apprentices. And when we come here, we're serving our apprenticeship. We're learning how to live and be the disciple that Jesus wants us to be. Is it any wonder then that Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also"? Jesus wants us to hang out together. Unlike the defendant in our opening story who did not look because he was not expecting anybody to walk through the door, when we hang out with Jesus, we can look because we know that in different ways, the Messiah is with us. Jesus is with us through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And we can work at living like He wants us to live. And isn't that what Andrew found out? And isn't that what Peter went to find out? Isn't that why we come here week after in and week out? To find out. This past week at the Watch on the Hills clergy gathering, we were talking about the fact that many people in our churches are afraid to invite others to church because they're afraid that they won't have the answer when the person says or asks, "Why should I?" Well, I think the answer is because in church we can hang out with Jesus. We can find the answers to our questions, and also we can find out what other questions we should be asking. It's where we find the kingdom in our midst. As we sharpen our eyesight. So when you invite someone and they say, "Why should I go to church?" You can tell them, "Just come. Hang out with us for a while. And maybe you'll find some answers." Amen.